This is the Do It Scared podcast with Ruth Sukup, episode number 30. On today's episode, we are going to talk with motivational speaker and thought leader Justin Schenck about turning fear into action, putting one foot in front of the other, and overcoming any challenge that comes your way. Welcome to the Do It Scared podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to face your fears, overcome obstacles, and most importantly, how to take action and create a life you love. Today's episode is brought to you by the 8th annual LWSL Holiday Planner. You guys, this is our most popular freebie of the entire year, and so you've got to grab it now. It's such a great tool for helping you to enjoy a holiday season filled with a whole lot more joy and a whole lot less stress. And the very best part of all, it is completely and totally free. Just our little way of saying happy holidays. It's available now, but only for a limited time. So grab yours at livingwellspendingless.com/holidayplanner. Once again, you can get it at livingwellspendingless.com/holidayplanner. Hey there, and welcome back to the show. My name is Ruth Sukup, and I am the founder of Living Well, Spending Less and the Living Well Planner, as well as the founder of Elite Blog Academy and the New York Times bestselling author of 5, soon to be 6 books. In today's episode, we are going to be talking to motivational speaker, top-rated podcaster, and thought leader Justin Schenck, founder of the Growth Now movement. Justin grew up in not the best of circumstances. He grew up in a broken home with a drug addicted mom and a father in jail. He didn't get good grades, and had there been an award for it, he probably would have been voted least likely to succeed. And yet, Justin managed to overcome these hurdles and so many more, and in the process, launch his own successful movement, inspiring others to overcome adversity in their own lives. It is an incredible story and one that I know will leave you not only inspired, but ready to take action. Because ultimately, that's exactly what this podcast is all about. It's about action, even in the face of fear, so that we can create a life we love. Because in the end, courage doesn't mean we're never afraid. Instead, courage is being scared, but taking those necessary steps despite our fear. It's putting one foot in front of the other, even when we're not quite sure where that path is going to lead. Okay, so just a couple more quick things before we dive into today's episode. First, you can download our Do It Scared manifesto to remind yourself to start living your own life of courage right now. You can get it by texting Do It Scared to 44222, or you can get the manifesto and all the show notes for this episode by visiting doitscared.com/episode30. Once again, either text doitscared, all one word, to 44222, or you can get the show notes at doitscared.com/episode30. All right. And now, without further ado, I am so honored to introduce you to speaker, podcaster, adversity slayer, and now my friend, Justin Schenck. Hey, Justin, so great to have you on the podcast today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Ruth, I'm so excited for the conversation, and I'm glad to be here. Like I said, you have the voice for podcasting, and
that
so I'm excited.
So
I'm excited to just
nice
be soothed over the
that.
Next 30 minutes.
All right, so let's just start at the beginning for those of our listeners that don't know you at all. Give us kind of the broad overview. Where did you start? Where are you at now? How did you get there? Just lay it all out.
Yeah, sure. And so I'll start with kind of where I am now. So I'm a top-ranked podcaster. My podcast does fairly well, especially for a guy in Reading, Pennsylvania. Inc. magazine put me on a list of top 8 podcasters to follow with people like Lewis Howes and John Lee Dumas and Andy Frisella, which that moment really just kind of changed my life as far as where I was going and kind of it kind of shifted my direction. And so now I'm also a podcast coach and I own a podcast production company and working on a bunch of other stuff as well. You know, and the crazy thing is like if there was a senior superlative in high school for least likely to succeed, that would have been me. They don't give that out. It probably would have been the only award I would have won. So I kind of would have liked it. But yeah, so the journey hasn't been smooth. It hasn't been a straight line. And I think anybody can kind of attest to that. But, you know, growing up, you know, a normal childhood till I was about 12. Then my parents got a divorce. And around that time, my mom developed an opioid addiction, which then lasted her for 20 years. And my dad, after my sophomore year of high school, got arrested. And so when I say least likely to succeed, it's not just the grades, because they weren't there either. I had a 1.7 GPA my junior year of high school.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was more of not because I was dumb, but it was more of, you know, I didn't want to be there, right? Because all these things are happening around me and I didn't really know how to handle that at 15, 16 years old. And so, you know, going through life, I didn't really have a direction. And when I was 19 years old, I actually got a job. And I know you just had a Hal Elrod on the show, which I've known Hal since I was 19.
He's amazing.
So I got a job selling Cutco knives when I was 19 years old. And that gave me a direction. Like, that kind of gave me my purpose in a sense. So I did really good. I wasn't Hal's numbers, but I was really good within the company, became a manager. And then actually my first summer as a manager, I had an employee come up to me and he said, you know, Justin, I probably would have made more money working at McDonald's this summer. But because of you, I have learned so much and I have a direction for my life. And I know where I'm going now because of you. And in that moment, I went, wow, I think that's what I need to be doing. And I didn't know the vehicle and I didn't know how I was going to get there. And there were many failed opportunities. And of course, we can get into that. But all of those things, it was just that moment of like, that's what I need to do. And you know, fast forward, that's where the podcast came from. And that's kind of where everything has kind of gone from there.
That's amazing. So with your parents, and are you have they recovered? Have they made it through to the other side? How's that going?
Yeah. So my relationship with my father is really strong, which is great. That's something that I really pride in my life is the fact that I'm so close with him. I was actually just the best man at his wedding a couple of years ago, which was amazing. Unfortunately, coming up on 3 years ago, my mom lost the battle to opioids. And so that moment was a game changer for me. You know, when she lost her life, we were about 5 months away from launching the podcast. And it was originally supposed to be an entrepreneurial podcast. And because of that moment, my whole entire perspective changed. And it became a podcast about self-love. It became a podcast about overcoming adversity. It became a podcast about understanding that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you are today. What matters is where you're going in the future. And because of the hardest moment of my life, it gave me probably the greatest direction I could ever ask for. Because see, here's the thing. And I always like to say this in interviews because, you know, my parents made the choices that they made, but they were really good parents. You know, they love me and my sisters wholeheartedly. And because of that, you know, I do feel blessed. You know, just their personal demons kind of got the best of them in a sense.
That's amazing that you can find so much love and forgiveness, for them instead of being bitter. I think I see that in a lot of people, you know, where you have really bad things happen to you. And, you know, I have that same thing in my childhood, lots of crap there. And you can look at that in one of two ways. You can either look at it all through this lens of this sucks. And I'm so scarred from all the stuff that's happened to me, or take the good along with the bad. And it sounds like you've really managed to do that. How do you have any advice for doing that in your life, and what's helped you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is like, it wasn't always that easy. Like it wasn't always that clear. And part of the example that I use is when my mom passed away, I went on a 3 month bender where I was probably drunk 6 nights a week. Because that was the only way I was sleeping. Yes, I was seeing a therapist at the time. Yes, I know I was self-medicating. Like these are the things that I was very self-aware of. So it wasn't always easy, but there's this mindset that I take into everything that I do and everything that happens to me is that, you know, life happens for you, not to you. And I think so often people take this woe is me approach to the things that are happening. But when you step back and you go, okay, this is just a moment in time, and I'm still here and I can make certain choices to make my life better, right? And so when you do that and you go, well, why did this happen? Or how can I make this, you know, something better than what it is? I'm a firm believer in the quote that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to what happens to you. Yes, things are going to happen. Things are going to change. Bad things happen all the time. Like this is just my story. Everybody has a story. but you write your own story by reacting and creating movements and doing all these things. And my mom passing away, I started a movement. And that's when the podcast went from a Growth Now podcast to Growth Now Movement, because I was like, I want to create an idea that there's a group of people in this world that need to hear this message at any given time. And how do I give them that platform, right? And so, yes, I would give anything to have my mom back, but I can't. I can't change that. But what I can change is say, hey, your death won't be in vain, and I'm going to help people and improve lives because of what you went through. And that's something that I promised her when she was on her deathbed in the hospital. And I just started to take action. And when you start to take action, the other things it doesn't really affect you as much. You don't sit in your own crap anymore. Like, you know, the action starts to heal you. And the action's different for everybody. You know, for me, it's to talk about it. Some people it's to write. Some people it's to just have a conversation one-on-one with a friend or a loved one. To me, it's sharing the message. And for me, it's speaking on stages and doing the podcast and doing all these other things. So yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it's just when you feel life has gotten you down, you don't want to move, move. Take action, because once you start to do that, everything good will begin.
So true. So true. I say action is the antidote to fear. It's the one thing that will always like get you out of that place of feeling stuck, is just any step. So what was your first step that you took after all of that stuff happened with your mom? You're drinking all the time. You're like in a really bad place. And yet then you like rose from the ashes and created this amazing movement that is helping so many people. So what was that? Where is the transition, and how did you make that first step?
Well, the funny thing is, when I was doing the drinking, I was still building this podcast. So it was almost like I was living dual lives. Like in the daytime, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm being the super positive motivational guy. And at night I was going out and drinking numbing my demons at the time. Right. And so I was kind of living this dual life. But for me, the biggest action that I took that really kind of shifted everything was I started to surround myself on a daily basis for hours at a time at times with the most inspiring, incredible, motivational coaches, individuals, mentors, friends. And I started to get rid of the people that were kind of holding me back in that self-doubt mentality. And there's one woman that I credit probably more than anybody. Her name is Rhonda Smith. And her and I started chatting, and she's a relationship and spiritual coach. And it completely changed my perspective on everything, right? There was a lot that I was holding on to that I didn't even realize, and all these other things. And so the biggest action that I took, I mean, there was a lot of small ones too, but the biggest one was to make sure that the conversation was more positive than negative, surround myself with people who have been through it, who can help me through it, and really start to listen to their advice instead of just having it go in one ear and out the other, which is, you know, what I did for so many years. And so once you start to do that and you start to own your own demons, like that's when you can start to move out of those bad moments.
Were you doing that intentionally then? Intentionally saying, okay, I have bad influences in my life and I need to intentionally surround myself with good people. And then how did you find those people?
Yeah. So the podcast was the greatest vehicle to find those people. It's funny because if I wasn't making a dime on the podcast, if I didn't have a whole podcast empire that sounded really cheesy, a whole podcast business that I'm slowly building.
You can call it an empire. I say own it.
So yes, that, I'd still do it, right? If one person listened, I'd still do it because it becomes a healing process for me. And if you go through, I have 140 episodes or something like that. And if you go through and you look at the topics, you'll notice different things throughout that, like all of a sudden there's like a chunk of relationship experts, and all of a sudden there's a chunk of health experts, and all of a sudden there's a chunk of business experts. And when you start to see that, you're like, well, Justin must have been going through some stuff, and it's probably true. Part of it is sometimes it happens naturally. You connect with one blogger, you get 10 bloggers. But also it was like, okay, I need to be intentional with the conversations I'm having. And then I've gotten really good at building those relationships. You know, I'm really fortunate now that, you know, some of my friends and clients are billionaires and celebrities and all these people that go back to 17, 18, 19 year old Justin. There's no way that I would ever work with these people and be friends with them. Mm-hmm. But it's really about being intentional and taking action again, right? People ask me all the time, how do you get these big names? I ask.
Yeah.
So often people are afraid to ask. Just ask. Mm-hmm. And the people that are meant to be in your life, they will say yes, and they will spend time with you. And the ones that aren't meant to be there, who cares? That's it. You know, move on.
And it probably started small, right? With smaller guests, people who felt more attainable and more approachable. And then you build up a little bit of confidence and you build up a little bit more and a little bit more after that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, early on, it was local people, local entrepreneurs and stuff like that. Except the fifth episode actually was the CEO of the company 1-800-GOT-JUNK, which is like a huge company.
Wow. Yeah.
And for me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. He said yes. And that's the episode I tell people to go back and listen to and go, you can get better as a podcast host. Because I was so nervous and it was awful. And I wish I had a redo. So you start off small and it slowly builds. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to a guy named Fabio Viviani, who's actually over my shoulder. I know they're not seeing the video. There's a photo of him over my shoulder. But he came on the show and him and I really hit it off. And he then ended up introducing me to 50 people in individual emails.
Oh, wow.
And it became this snowball effect of new clients, new friends, new opportunities. And I also have helped him in many ways, too. Like, so it's become a great friendship. But it's really sometimes in life, it's a lot of consistent action and then one domino tips. And it just kind of all goes from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely started small. And now it's gotten insane. Like there's people that were on my wish list that I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll get them. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now it seems completely doable. I think that's so funny about life and entrepreneurship and when you're doing these things. And I mean, that's part of the whole do it scared message too, is you put yourself out there in small ways and you push past what seems like this huge hurdle. And when you look back on it, you're like, oh, that wasn't that big. But at the time it feels huge, but that gives you the momentum and the courage to keep going towards the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
So is your advice to everyone then start a podcast?
No, not to everybody. You know, it's funny because, I think everybody can have a podcast, but not everybody should have a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that the messaging needs to be there. I think the vision needs to be super clear. So often people start a podcast and they go, I'm going to be the next Tony Robbins via podcast or the next Lewis Howes, who's just blown up in the self-help space. You really at this point, because there's 500,000 podcasts, you really need to niche down. So, you know, always have the right conversation before you dive in. You know that you're in the right place to do it because it's a lot of work. People don't think it's a lot of work. They think they're going to sit down and have a conversation and that's it. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. But you know, it's a lot of work and do some thought processing and really put your thoughts down on a piece of paper and start to niche down. And then that's where the value will be added for your audience.
That's a lot like blogging. You know, I teach people how to blog through Elite Blog Academy, and there's so many similarities and parallel. I mean, everything that applies to blogging also applies to podcasting, refining your message and figuring out who is it that I'm talking to and what is the thing that I want to say and knowing exactly what that is. But I just think that it's just like podcasting and the way that you're talking about it, blogging is this avenue for people to discover who they are, even if it doesn't become this huge business. You know, that it can become, so can podcasting, it can become this amazing business for people, but it can also just be this vehicle by which to discover who you really are and what you're really all about. And I think that makes it just worthwhile just for that one thing. If that's the only thing that you ever get out of it, I mean, how amazing would that be?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I would do it even if it was just the connections I was making, the conversations I was having. And yeah, it's, you know, it's evolved. Like, well, actually, if you go back to the first 62 episodes, I had a co-host. So the messaging and what I was trying to do has evolved over time. And now I've added a second episode a week where it's just me talking solo. So it's helped me find my voice and kind of give me that direction. And that's whether I have one listener or 10,000 listeners an episode, like that's really, you know, the greatest thing that I've been able to kind of do out of this is, okay, this helps me. I can throw things out there. I somehow get a sounding board back and people go, that sucked, don't do that again. Or people say, yeah, that's really good, do that again. And it has helped me. You're right. It's helped me define my voice.
It's amazing. So you talk a lot about adversity and overcoming adversity in your podcast and in your brand. Can you talk, just share, I mean, you've shared about your parents, which is a huge thing to overcome, but talk about one of the hardest lessons that you've had to learn either in life or in business, either a time that you were treated really badly by somebody or you made a huge mistake. What happened and what did it teach you?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a really good question because I think for me, business, I like to say I'm an accidental entrepreneur. Like the business kind of built itself. And I know that sounds so horrible. And like, people want to know the X's and O's and whatever, but I have tried other businesses and they have failed. And, but I always think to personal things, like what's the hardest thing that happened to me that's really kind of helped me in all areas of my life. And, you know, that it was really when my mom passed away. Right. And I know we already touched on that, but when that happened, it began a course in so many parts of my life. It helped me in my personal life. It helped me in my business. It's helped me so much. And it's funny because people are like, well, the worst moment in your life has helped you. I'm like, yeah, it's made me a more understanding, more kind person. So it's helped my relationships. It started to define my message for me, which then became a business. So for me, I mean, that moment was definitely the hardest, and yet it took a while to figure out what that voice was. And I don't even know if I'm answering the question correctly, but you know, that
there's no right or wrong answer. It's not graded. doesn't matter here.
Yeah. So I mean, that moment, that was the biggest lesson in my life, is to understand that, like, look, like, we're not here forever. It could end tomorrow. I have to be more kind and more understanding and more patient. And these are things that I really wasn't before. Like I was kind of a jerk.
I find that so often, actually, with people who have those kind of experiences, that not that everybody's a jerk, but I find that people who have experienced hardship and adversity or something really painful in their life seem to have a much more empathetic quality to them, or just more humility. I don't know what it is. It's like the bad things actually make you a better person. And that's something to be grateful for right there.
Yeah. And so true, but I've also seen it the other way too, where it makes somebody, you know, even worse, even more of a shut-in, even more of a jerk. So I think that there needs to be some sort of self-awareness. But yeah, I mean, for sure, like that moment was, it really changed the direction of my whole entire life. Like my relationships that I have now with my sisters and my dad and girlfriend and, you know, relationships that I have in business, they would not be there without that moment. And so, it's hard for me to define bad moments, because I think that they're all good in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. Every breakdown leads to a breakthrough.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about fear. This is the Do It Scared podcast. And specifically just in your life, how fear has shaped your, whether it's been your business or just in your life, what is something that has really scared you that you've really had to push yourself past that fear? And how did you move past it?
Yeah. You know, I actually got your questions beforehand and I read this question and I was like, what am I afraid of? For me, I'm kind of afraid to do something every day. Like, pushing forward in business, to grow a business, to scale a business, which is where I'm at now. I'm in the scaling process. That's super scary, right? Putting yourself out there in new mediums and doing all that stuff. So I'll give you an example. So when I launched the podcast, right, I was terrified. I was so terrified to put my voice out there. What if people made fun of me? What if nobody listened? You know, what if this doesn't make sense to anybody? What if I suck as a host? And so that's why I had a co-host. Like, that's the only reason I had a co-host, was because I was like, there's a buffer here. Right. And so being afraid in that moment, instead of pushing through on my own and bringing along a co-host, it actually held me back, because the podcast audience didn't grow until he took a step back from the show. And, you know, I think sometimes that was a big lesson for me, because I was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to start doing things. Right. And so we talked kind of before we started to hit record. I'm planning a live event currently. Terrifying. You know, we talked about live events, like planning this live event has been terrifying,
so,
and putting yourself out there and, you know, using my great connections of these celebrities and billionaires to come speak at my event. What if I don't sell a ticket? What if nobody comes? What if I put it out there and a year from now I end up having to cancel the event because nobody came? And a year from now people are going, so what happened to your event, loser? Like, these are fears. But
it's terrifying.
Terrifying. I mean, we talked about your event. Like, you never know. But, you know, going back to, I thought the day that I decided to say, okay, I'm moving forward with this, I'm doing this. I thought back to when I launched the podcast and I said, if I pushed through that fear and did it on my own, where would I be now? Versus, you know, starting a year later on my own and really growing that audience, where would I be now? You know, I'm going to take the risk. And so far, the feedback has been amazing. Tickets are selling, and I'm just really excited about it. And so, you know, I think there's fear every day as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. To put yourself out there, to understand that if I don't close this next client, my bills aren't paid. If I don't do, you know what I mean? There's all those things. So there's fear every day. Like if I hire somebody, that's X amount of money I'm taking out of my pocket. What if I don't make that back? But you have to push through those fears. And so the answer to that is there's fears every day, but I've learned due to that one big moment of the podcast, the launch of the podcast, like I need to push through them every single time mm-hmm. and just take the risk. And you know, they don't always pay off, but nope. it's totally worth it overall.
So have you had a risk that hasn't paid off that you've taken, either not necessarily with your current business, but you said you did things before? And then how did you move past the failure?
Yeah. So that's actually a really cool question. So I used to own a business that I did seminars and expos that focus on personal and professional growth. Mm-hmm. And I actually owned that company with the guy I started the podcast with. And we were around for about 2 years and we did okay, small seminars and stuff like that. But it was a side business. We still had day jobs because we were like holding it as like a buffer kind of deal. Like it was kind of scary. And we did well for 2 years. And we took all the money that we made in 2 years and we put it into a huge business conference. Where we paid a speaker to come in for the first time. We spent all this money on advertising and we sold 3 tickets to the event.
Oh, so your fear of live events is not unfounded right now.
No, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But, you know, we sold 3 tickets to the event. And by the way, we had a Groupon offer. And those were the three tickets we sold.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. So ouch. From that moment, I mean, it was a massive failure. I mean, it ended the business. I ended up right around that time, both my business partner and I both got promotions in our day jobs. So we just went, okay, we'll just do this for a while. But what I learned was you need to understand your market. You have to understand your audience. Seminars and expos weren't a huge thing back then. Like we were kind of a little bit ahead of the curve and now it's a huge thing. So it's a little bit more common for people to attend these day long events and stuff like that. But you know, you have to understand your market. You have to, again, going back to the, should you launch a podcast? It's a lot you should look into before you do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, like, I think it also taught me that entrepreneurship is the route that I needed to go, because after that, and just being in a corporate job that paid me well, I did well, I was successful, but I was so empty. And so without that failure, I don't think I would have had that empty, because I was filling a certain emptiness doing it on the side. So there's a lot of lessons in that one failure.
So that failure gave you the courage to leave your job and actually start this whole other thing.
Yeah. I mean, it took years, but it definitely did that for sure. Amazing. You know, because I think failures are our greatest teacher.
Did you find with the failure that before that big failure, you were afraid to fail? And then it sort of like, it was like ripping off the Band-Aid all of a sudden.
This might sound really weird, but you might have heard people say it on your show. I was more afraid of success. I was afraid of,
I haven't heard that.
You know, so, and it's kind of weird to explain because people think all the time they're afraid of failure, but failure is what we've done our whole life. Like even as a baby, right? We try and walk for the first time and we fall, but we get back up and then we fall. The failure was more common to us. Watch a baby when they first figure out those first steps and they freak out. Like the fear is in the success. So I thought to myself, if I became a really successful entrepreneur and I really owned this self-development life, what would happen with my friends? Would I have friends? What's after that? Like, I know what I'm chasing now, but once if I reach it, what am I chasing after that? There's this great fear in like, what's after that? But you have to achieve the success first. So there was actually comfort in the failure. There's a lot of comfort in the failure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have never really thought about it that way. And I think, maybe I just have been so busy focused on like, what's my next step or how do I get there? But I do hear that from people of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I have all the success? And especially in Elite Blog Academy in the community. But I think that we forget that it doesn't happen overnight. We have these dreams of being an overnight success, but it never happens overnight. And so you are actually more in control of the process and the changes that are happening than you think that you're going to be when you kind of just look at it from the beginning stage.
Have you found
that too?
For sure. And it's funny now that I've gone through it and I've reached the certain success levels, you know, I think about the friends I don't necessarily talk to anymore and all those things. And it just happened gradually. It wasn't like this shock, all like shock and awe, right?
Yeah.
So the loss also doesn't happen in shock and awe from that standpoint either. Like, it's not like they died. If I really wanted to, I could reach out to them and still talk to them and hang out with them. But then again, using mentors and people that have already done it, it creates almost like a soft cushion of like, well, oh, wait, it's not that bad. They look pretty happy. So let me just follow that path, right? And so I think getting the mentors has really kind of made that a lot easier too.
Mm, so important. What advice would you give somebody who's looking for a mentor?
Ask. It really is that simple.
You're afraid to ask, because I know that somebody's going to be listening to this right now going, but that, just the thought of that terrifies me. I think, like, honestly, that's my fear too, is asking people. Cause my deepest fear, I just finished writing this whole book on called Also Do It Scared, and have identified these different fear archetypes. It's a whole other story. More on that later. But what I have realized through this process is that my deepest fear is rejection. And so the thought of like putting myself out there and then being rejected by somebody is so like painful that it causes me to never want to ask. So how do you get past that? Because I'm guessing that's probably not your deepest fear.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think more than anything, I give as much as I possibly can. And, you know, I asked myself for so long, like, what can I actually give these people that I admire? Right. Because we think that they have everything. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. These people that I talk to now on a regular basis, like that I never thought I'd be friends with, who I've admired for years, you know, they want love just like us. Like, we put them up on a pedestal and we say they're great, they don't need me, blah, blah, blah. But they need love. They need support. Mm-hmm. They need maybe some introductions, right? So like, something I've done really cool is like, I've built a great network of people that I can create introductions. And so you ask yourself, what can I give today to these people that I admire? And I promise you, when you give, they're going to feel like they need to give back. It's actually like a scientific fact that when humans receive something, they feel like they need to give back. Now, it's a little bit more in some people than others. There's a lot of takers out there too, but it's worth the risk, right? So like, you know, that's how I've become good friends with Fabio Viviani and Ed Milet and these people who, you know, how do I build that relationship? How do I get them to be somebody, if I reach out and ask them a question, I don't feel bad for doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's by giving first. And don't do it to receive, do it because you want to give. And then it'll happen naturally. I promise you that it'll happen naturally with the people that are supposed to be in your life.
So when you say giving, you're giving advice, feedback, just compliments, actual connections, any of the above?
Any of the above, whatever, like if you're listening now, like whatever you feel like you can give. Like I didn't realize making connections for people was something I could give, but it is, right? So I figured that out. If it is just, if you literally have just a clothes on your back, if you can give a compliment, it makes them feel good, right? So I interviewed Ed Milet, who's friends with Tony Robbins and Grant Cardone and these people who you think they have everything. And Ed goes, those people want to hear, I love you, man. The same, if not more than anybody else I know, because they don't hear it. You know, so if it's that simple.
Because everybody thinks, oh, they're so adored that they don't need to hear that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're genuine and you're authentic with whatever you're offering, even if it is just thinking about you, whatever, like that's all that matters. If that's all you can give, give that. If there's something else you can give, give that. Like I always thought, oh, I need to give them money. They don't need money. They have plenty of it. So figure out what else you can give, and then that'll kind of help them progress. Yeah.
So interesting. Okay, so let's revisit the Cutco knives, because you glossed over that part very briefly. And I talked extensively, I don't know if you listened to that interview with Hal, but we talked extensively about his Cutco knives experience. So now I'm like totally intrigued knowing that you did this too. Did you do it with him or just because of him or completely independently of him?
So completely independently of him. So here's the part. I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was, because he was like the rock star, superstar, top two in the company. I don't know if he was ever top one. He might say he was, but there's a guy named John Rulin who was ridiculous around the same time. Anyway, so here's the story of the Hal Elrod. So I was connected within my region. So I was in the Northeast region, because I worked out of New Jersey at the time. So I was in the Northeast region. And they said, hey, we're going to get on this conference call with Hal Elrod. At the time, he went by a name, Yo Pal Hal. I don't really know. I don't really know why, but that's what he went by. And like, we're going to hop on this conference call. And I was like, okay, cool. So I hop on this conference call. I'm thinking it's going to be about how can I sell more knives. And we get on, and Hal starts going, I started this new thing. I wait, and he goes through, like, it's this thing that I do in the morning, and it helps my whole entire day, and it sets me up for success and blah, blah, blah. He goes, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and at I was 18 or 19. It might have been 18 at the time. And I promptly go, click, and I hung up the phone because I went, I'm not waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Did.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I was on the first conference call ever introducing the Miracle Morning before it was called the Miracle Morning.
That is amazing. Yeah. And you hung up. Oh my gosh. That I love that so much. The Miracle Morning is my favorite. I love it.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal book. It's something that I put into practice. I've tweaked it to make it my own. But yeah, I mean, Hal is really, really smart. And so I was there through the whole Hal thing of him doing really well on the knives. And then the second he took the step away from the knife company and became a business consultant. And it was funny because back then business consultants weren't every other person you see on Facebook. Like, it was like an actual thing. And I was like, wait, I don't get it. How are you making money? People pay you just to talk to them. Like, it was like this whole thing. So yeah. So I've had a connection to Hal in some way, shape or form, since I was 18 years old, which is crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. Is that when you started when you were 18 selling the knives? How long did it last?
Yeah. So I did it for 2 years, and then I had to leave because I had to move, because at the time my mom lived in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is where I live now. And she wasn't able to keep a job. So I had to move here and help her pay some bills. So I left the office that I had. And then probably about 8 months after I moved to Reading, the manager here found out I was here, and I went back for like 6 months to help her out. So 2.5 years total. About a year of that as a manager, about a year and a half of that as a sales rep. So it was a journey. Like, the thing that I was known for is I had a 96% closing ratio.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy.
What was the secret to your success, do you think?
I think that I was genuine with what I was doing. I think, like, so I'm not a hard sales guy. I could never sell cars. But I just went in and I go, look, I really do believe these are the best knives ever. And I wasn't trying to sell them the biggest set if they didn't need the biggest set. And so it was really about finding out what worked for them, and catering to them. Plus when I was 18, 19, I looked like I was 12. And so I think that these people were like, I need to buy something.
Pity on you. I was like buying from a Boy Scout.
Exactly.
That's always a good thing to work in your favor. So your advice is first go work for Cutco and then start a podcast, right?
I actually just had a conversation with
the path to success in life.
I actually just had a conversation with my girlfriend, and I go, if I ever have kids, I'm going to make them work for Cutco.
Really?
Yeah. And I go, I don't even need them to be successful in it. I don't even need them to be a good sales rep. I'll buy a damn set from them. Like, and then from there, like the lessons that I learned in that company, how it introduced me to public speaking, how it introduced me to pushing through fears of making cold calls and then getting into houses that I didn't know these people, to all the skills of life, self-development, positive thinking, all of these things I learned in Cutco. And that's why people like Hal still talk about it, even though he's out of there. Like, he doesn't need to talk about Cutco knives anymore, but he does because he really believes in what the company stands for. And so I would make my kids work for that company. And
that's pretty amazing.
Whether they like sales or not, I don't care. Just go do it for a summer. You don't have to do it forever. You know, it doesn't have to be a thing, but go try it, because it's completely different than showing up to we have Wawa's here, which they're down in Florida now, but they're like a convenience store.
I saw that. I have not been to one, though.
You need to go to one. Their subs are amazing. I grew up on Wawa. So my first job was in amusement park, then Wawa, and then I left Wawa to go sell Cutco knives. And what I learned at Cutco knives compared to if I stayed at Wawa for another year or two, completely different.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about now. What are you working on right now that's getting you super fired up?
Yeah. I mean, right now it's really my live event.
And when is that?
It's May 31st. So we have some time.
2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So May 31st, 2019, it's in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which is crazy, because people are like, why are you doing it in Reading? Like, my podcast gets played in 100 countries every single week. So I can go do it in Philly or New York or you know, Miami or whatever, and probably sell more tickets. But my main thing is I want to help everybody involved. Like, everything that I do needs to be a win-win-win, right? Which is why I say not everybody should do a podcast. I can make money off of them, but if they're not going to win, who cares, right? But I need it to be a win-win-win. And for me, it's a win for the people in attendance because they're going to learn from incredible speakers. I'm also doing something where I'm inviting 20 movement makers to attend the event. And these are people that have been on my show. And we're talking mm-hmm. Olympic bronze medalists, Bellator MMA fighters, a massive blogger's coming, a huge social media person, like all these things to be in the room to help people level up. Because it's not just about the motivation from the stage. It's about what happens afterwards. You know, it's a win for my sponsors because they get a reach. And then it's also a win for the city of Reading because Reading needs something like this. We get nothing but bad publicity. And so it's really going to help the city of Reading. And I actually found out Inc. Magazine is going to do an article about my event already. So that's huge, right? And so that's
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited about that. I haven't announced all the speakers, even though I know who they are. I'm slowly announcing them as I build up. But the last one I just announced was Albie Manzo from Real Housewives of New Jersey is one of the speakers. Ooh. He's actually a branding expert, which is funny because people think, oh, who cares about a reality guy? But he's a branding expert. He helps massive brands across the country, you know, take their brand to the next level. And three other amazing speakers that I've announced so far, like a relationship expert and all these other things. Because the main thing in life is it's not just about business. It's not just about health. It's not just about relationships. It's about everything. It's about overall happiness. And how can you attain that every single day? And so one of the speakers who I haven't announced yet, he's going to be talking about how to unlock ultimate happiness at will. Like these are things that people need more than anything else. Yes, there's going to be business involved because why would you buy something that you're not going to, you know, make profit off of, right? But it's about your overall happiness because that's what everybody is chasing.
Mm-hmm. So who are you targeting? Like who's the target audience for this event?
Yeah. So it's really about, the way I'm describing it is actually a day long rock concert for entrepreneurs, forward thinkers, and people looking to level up in all areas of their life.
Ooh, yeah, so, I like it.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want people to think some boring seminar because it will not be like that. Yeah. It's almost like TED Talk on steroids. So every speaker is super quick, but a lot of value add, a lot of fun. There's an after party afterwards. There's a VIP welcome reception the night before. So it's really about creating that great experience. So it's people who want to level up in their lives by connecting with others, but also just feeling good, right? Like how do you improve your life by building great relationships? And if you can do that at these events, and I've done it, I've been fortunate enough that I've gone to some great events and met great people. But if I can facilitate that for others who are looking to level up their business, their relationships, their health, cool. And so if you're looking to do that, that's the target audience for me.
That's awesome. That sounds very exciting.
Thank you.
I think, you know, I'm going to be in that area around that time. Maybe I'm going to have to come check
out. I would love it if you came. That'd be amazing.
I would love to. Okay. So this is a really important question. It's one of my favorite questions to ask, but what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received and why?
Yeah. So, this question is something that people think is going to be like this mind blowing. This is the best advice ever, but it was mm-hmm. for me when that business failed and we sold mm-hmm. the three tickets and I had to cancel everything and I didn't get any of my money back. It was all gone. And I called my mom because my mom was always my rock, even though she had her own stuff. And she said to me, "You know how great you are. Just keep your head up and keep moving forward." And it was that last, but yes, you know how great you are. That's what a mom says to her son, right? But to keep your head up and keep moving forward was the greatest piece of advice because through fear, through failure, through all of these things, if I can keep my head up and keep moving forward, as long as I'm pointed in the right direction, I'm going to be okay. And so that for me was the best advice I've ever received. And I carry it with me through everything that I do.
I love that. So good. So how do you practice self-care and keeping your head up? How do you actually practice that in a daily basis? I mean, you talk a lot about it in your business. And so I'm assuming that you also practice it, hopefully, in your personal life. How do you do that? And what do you do to continually build and protect your confidence?
Yeah. So there's three things I do every single day for self-care. Number one is meditation. Which for me, I have super ADD. Like if people are watching this video, they can see my hands moving around. I don't really look in one place. So super ADD, but I meditate, for 10 to 15 minutes, depending on what I need. And I just sit in silence and sit in my thoughts. I'm a huge visualization guy. And so I actually visualize a little bit different. So I love music. And so I put my life to a soundtrack and anything in my potential future has a soundtrack to it. And so I actually visualize while listening to the soundtrack of whatever it is I'm planning. So like I've been visualizing my live event and I've known the music that's going to be played there for a year. And yeah, it's evolving and changing.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and actually the speakers that I've booked, like I visualized them before I even had them on the show. So it's one of those things where I was like, okay, cool. Like visualization for me really becomes real because you put in the action. I was like, I want Albie Manzo to speak at my event because I knew he was a branding expert and he's in New Jersey. I was like, cool. How do I put that together? Got him on the show, built the relationship. I've hung out with him multiple times. He's now coming and speaking at my event. So the visualization part's really, really important for me for self-care. And the third thing is actually going to be for self-care, but it's also to help my confidence. And that is I reach out to at least one person every single day. To check on them, whether that is, hey, how's everything going? I had a buddy who just had shoulder surgery not that long ago, and it was probably a couple of months ago where people wouldn't still follow up. And I shot him a text and said, hey, man, I just wanted to see how the shoulder was feeling. You know, I know that takes a while to recover from. So I do things like that every single day. And the reason I say it helps my confidence too is because they always give me love back. And I like we talk about the five love languages, like that's a whole relationship thing. Mine is words of affirmation. And so like if I reach out to somebody in that manner, they always give me love back in some way, shape or form. And so that helps me feel good because I know that I'm touching them in some way. But it also makes me feel good because they give me love back. So
I love that. I think that's such an important thing to remember. And this is a piece of advice that I received a long time ago was because I get real anxious in social situations. And I feel like, oh my gosh, everybody's looking at me. And so my accountability partner years ago said, don't worry about how you're being perceived. Just worry, focus on what you have to give. Just like look for somebody else who looks like they're struggling, pour into them and you'll forget about being self-conscious yourself. And it sounds like on a different level, you're doing the same sort of thing instead of focusing inwardly. What do I need right now? How can I serve? And it's amazing how that just like twisting the narrative just that little bit will make such a difference and really does build up your confidence in a way that nothing else I don't think could ever do.
Yeah. I also love the way you put that. Like look around the room and see what you can give instead of worrying about how people are perceiving you. I love that. Stealing it. It's so good.
You could steal it. Don't give me the credit. Give my friend the credit. She was the one that said it. Edie, I think she was episode 10 or something like that.
I love that.
All right. Well, Justin, what final words of wisdom do you want to share?
Yeah. I mean, to whoever's listening, like the main thing is, and I think that hopefully my life is a testament to this in some way, shape or form. Like it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't even matter where you are today. Like what matters is you need to be moving forward every single day, right? Keep your head up and move forward, as my mom said. And so for me, like stop holding on to the past and stop letting your past define you and allow the present to define you and just start taking action to become the better you. And I think that that's really kind of what the Growth Now movement's all about. And really what life is all about, because we worry so much about the past. And so if you can move forward, you'll be all right.
I love it. So where can we find you online?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different places. I think I gave you three different links, but you know, search for Growth Now Movement, wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love if you checked it out. If you want to come to that event we spoke about, it's gnmlive.com. And again, I made it super affordable, by the way. It's only $97.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The tickets are normally $500-$600 for this type of thing. I just spoke at an event in Orlando where entry level tickets are $900. And so, yeah, so I try to make it super affordable. Prices will go up as we get closer just because of the cost. But yeah, check it out, gnmlive.com. And if you're into podcasting, it's something you want to do. The easiest way to do that is email me, justin@growthnowmovement.com. And we can kind of work out a phone call and go from there.
Cool. Thank you so much. And we, of course, will leave or include all of those links on our show notes. But Justin, thank you so much. It was great talking to you today. And what you're doing is amazing. And thank you for all the words of wisdom that you had to share.
Ruth, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, so don't forget that if you would like to grab our Do It Scared manifesto or get the show notes for this episode, you can find it all at doitscared.com/episode30. Or by texting Do It Scared to 44222 right now. Once again, get all the show notes at doitscared.com/episode30 or get the manifesto by texting Do It Scared to 44222 on your phone right now. Then before we go, I just want to say, as always, that I love, love, love hearing from you guys. So if you have any questions about what we talked about today, any follow-up that you want to do, any other topics that you would like to see addressed here on the Do It Scared podcast, any people that you would like me to interview, please feel free to reach out via email by filling out our form at doitscared.com. And that about does it for this episode of the Do It Scared podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you liked what you heard, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes. And then if you're really feeling motivated, share a screenshot of your review at doitscared.com for a chance to win some of our fabulous Do It Scared merchandise, t-shirts, mugs, bracelets. And then be sure to subscribe while you're there via iTunes to be notified of all our upcoming episodes. And speaking of upcoming episodes, be sure to join me next week as we talk about what it means to embrace honest feedback, even when it's not easy to hear. It's a tricky subject that for many of us is one we don't really want to think about. And yet, if you want to grow, learning how to surround yourself with people who will speak truth is one of the most important things you will ever do. I'll share some tips for how to make it happen, and you might just be amazed at what happens next. I will catch you then.